Good morning, everybody. So Eric asked me to open this morning. And so I thought about it all week. And I work with a certain sect of our community that has to work in trust. They have to trust me, you know. And I have a woman that I was speaking with, and her caregiver said, I have an acronym for trust, because I was encouraging this woman in trusting and trusting in how, what God has for her, because she was asking those questions, and I was blessed to be able to encourage her. And her caregiver said, the acronym for trust is truly rely upon spiritual timing. And I was just like, whoa, you know, so... And have you ever had somebody ask you, don't you trust me? And you look at them and you go, I trust you to do exactly what you're going to do. And just leave it at that. That's in backwards way. So do we do that to God? Do we look at God and we say, I'm going to trust you, God, to do what you're going to do, God, for your good? We don't talk about we're trusting him for our good. And there are times when we have to wait, and we were just talking about this at the table. You know, Zeke's brother-in-law had to wait 10 years for a kidney. That's a long time to wait, you know? And so do we trust God? Me and Tim have to talk about that all the time. We have to trust in God's timing. Things are going to work out the way they're supposed to. When I changed jobs, I had to trust God that this was the right step. So think about that today when you're worshiping, is do you trust God for your good? Or do we put conditions on God about why we trust him?
Thank you. We put our trust in you. glory of your goodness. Let us become aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, Spirit, I know you're in this place. Hey, I know you're in this place, babe. Yeah, I know you're in this place. I wanna be aware, I wanna be aware you're in this place. Holy Spirit, satisfied, hearing in love.
Nothing better than you.
we declare this day. This is our testimony. There's nothing better or greater.
You might have heard me talk about him a few times, but he's a youth pastor here in town at a church called Living Faith Victory Center. And recently, he's been posting pictures of his old life just for nothing else, just to show you where he's come from. And I don't have this story, so I'm always amazed to see when God does these things, but these pictures, he did a really cool thing where he scrolled through his Facebook, like he was talking as he was scrolling through it and showing you the progression of his life leading towards Jesus. And so it goes from him just like smoking, he's drinking. I mean, he's pictures of him taking shots. I mean, and you know, if you know Josh now, you're like, wow, there's no way that was you. But you just see, right? And then he's talking about how he's going through, and he's like, yep, this is when we moved to Yakima, and I was still partying and still doing this stuff. And then he's like, and then this is when I meet my pastor. And it's still Josh. It's still like, you know, him rough looking and stuff. But then the next pictures that follow are him and his wife at church, and then him with his youth students, and him. And I mean, we're talking about, this has been like 10 years going on now. And it was just this beautiful picture of just the restoration of our loving Father. And I mean, I shared it on my Facebook. You can go look at it. But it just, I just love that there's nothing better than Jesus. And we got to see that. We got to see a Josh who was in what he probably thought at the time he's living his best days. I'm free, I'm drinking, I'm smoking, I'm sleeping with this person and that person, right? And then you got to see like the real joy of the Lord come upon somebody. And it's just this beautiful picture. So I just love that. How many of you guys are just grateful that Jesus took us from our dirtiest place, right? And maybe for you it was, you know, a long time ago. Maybe it was for you it was recent. But that Jesus is so good that he said, I see you, son. I see you, daughter. And I don't want you there. I want you here. Not just in a church building. I want you here in my presence. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you've taken all of us from a place that we never should have been. We thank you that you've saved us. We thank you that you're continually doing something new in our life. And that although the world says it has something great to offer, there is nothing better than you.
Amen.
We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Christ is my firm foundation, and the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, and I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus.
faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't.
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got
yeah.
That there is no part of our life where you can fail in. God, right now I just pray that you would begin to reveal to your children right now every area of their lives that you've been faithful in from start to finish, even the areas that seem bleak, even the areas that seem dark. God, I pray right now for a revelation right now of your goodness over our lives. Because God, we thank you that you are an all-trusting, all-faithful Father in heaven. That we can lean into you. We can trust you, God, because you won't fail. We can walk out of this place with that single truth to get us through the rest of our lives, that we serve a faithful God. We thank you, Jesus, and we trust you. We trust you, Lord, with our lives, with our livelihood, with our families, with our finances, with our jobs. God, we trust you. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. I thank you so much, Lord, that you're moving in this place today. We thank you that you're good. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Come on, you have some beautiful people around you. So if you could just hug a neck, say hello, take a few moments to say hi to somebody. All good. There you go. Okay. So, Caden, can we get that first slide up there, the declaration slide? We're going to pray for our valley. Quick update on our pastors is I have no update. So that, I think that's a good sign. They have no signal. So even if I wanted to get a hold of them, I probably couldn't. But I believe they're having a great time. That's not true. Actually, I did. They'd went into town. Pastor Galen celebrated a birthday last Thursday, I believe it was. So they went into town for a quick lunch, and he sent me a text message, and I asked him how was the bed, because this is it's a tiny home, and I don't know if you guys have looked at our pastor, but he's not tiny, and so I was like, I think it's going to be fine, but I'm not quite sure if he's going to fit on that bed. But he said, yeah, it's better than his bed at home, so praise the Lord for that. So they have one more week, and then they're going to be off to Utah to visit some friends. So we're going to pray for our city. Okay, let's go to the first slide. So if we could stand together as we declare the goodness of the Lord over the Yakima Valley, on three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we thank you for our city. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, God, and we just praise you for the Yakima Valley. We thank you, Jesus, again, that we're not just a blip on a map somewhere in Washington, but actually you have a calling on this city. In Jesus' name, amen. First slide, buddy. So we're doing a men's barbecue. Cody Brown is going to be hosting it, and we'll have an address there. That is on the 19th. So I believe that's not this Friday, but the next Friday, I believe that's right. And so we've been having a great time doing these barbecues. Alex hosted the last one, and we had a great time just eating some food and fellowshipping and talking about God and whatnot. And so again, I'll continue to say this. This is a good opportunity to invite your friends and family that don't have a place to be, don't have a church home. It's a little less intimidating than a Sunday morning, because it's just, who doesn't like meat? You know, I mean, I know there are people that don't like meat, but meat's good. Meat's from heaven. Next thing is we had to cancel our last one because of the heat. So hopefully it'll be cool enough. But August 27th is the last Saturday of the month. We'll be doing our backyard worship. And location to be determined. But just know what's happening. Put it in your calendar. Again, these are great nights to come, and just no agenda other than just to worship Jesus. You know, there's not a word. There's not a, you have to do a special dance or anything. So let's just worship Jesus. And then, this is something I wanted to talk about. You can't really see it, It says Pursue One Life Youth Internship. So this is something we're doing as a youth ministry that I'm really excited about. We're going to be meeting for a week with our youth students. And right now we have five that are committing to come to this. It's just like a half day, 9 to 1. And the whole idea of it is to go deeper, pursuit, to be in pursuit of God. And so we're going to take a week and we're just going to take those who want to go deeper and teach them some practicals of what it looks like to pray and to read their Bible and to just go deeper in the Lord. And so I'm really excited about it. Originally wanted to do 2 weeks, but then Nancy was like, slow down, let's do 1 week. And I was like, okay, that's probably a good idea. Wisdom. That's why I believe the Bible refers to wisdom as a her. And then the last thing is, and we talked about it last week, so we're using a new system called Flocknote, and this is just how we're going to be communicating mass texts. And so for the men's breakfast, we have a men's ministry one where you'll get a text message saying, hey, this is One Life Family Worship. We're having this, and this is just a way for us to expedite the process, because right now the system is Pastor Mike will send out 18 different text to 18 different groups, because that's just the system we have set up. So yeah, just be aware that you might get a text from a random number, just to save it if it's for the men's ministry or if it's for church general, or if there's a ladies thing or something like that. Just know that you might be getting a text message from that. Make sense? Clear as mud. And then the last thing is thank you for giving. So thank you guys for sowing into our house here. You can give online. You can give in the boxes here. We appreciate everything you sow into the house of God. Amen? Awesome. So I will be sharing that. You can put the first slide up there, buddy. I'll be sharing the next few weeks, and I believe where we're going, I'm going to break down over the next few weeks, God willing, that this thought called stinking thinking, okay? And if you guys aren't aware, sometimes even the most holiest of people, even the most full of wisdom-like people get some stinking thinking in our brains, right? Like, we get some bad, not just bad thoughts. I'm not just talking about sinful thoughts. I'm not talking about lustful thoughts. I'm not necessarily talking about those things. I'm more talking about our view of the Lord can get a bit skewed sometimes, right? Even though, even for some of us who have been saved for a long time, and we've seen God do stuff, and we've read His Word for a long time faithfully, and we've been to church many a times, and all this stuff. If we're not careful, if we're not don't have checks and balances in place, we will have things come up that are just stinking thinking. And so I have a definition here. This is how I define stinking thinking. When your natural or carnal mind take over the truths you know about Jesus. Okay? Simple definition. When your natural or carnal mind take over the truths you know about Jesus. Because there are truths, and then there are people's personal, what they think is true, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the truths that we know that is biblical, that we know in our spirit, we know in our heart, that this is the truth about Jesus, right? Those things at times, though, if we're not careful, whether we're not, you know, sometimes it's because we're not in our word enough. Sometimes it's because we're hanging around the wrong people. Sometimes it's because what we're consuming. Like, if you're, this is obviously something that we deal with as youth pastors, talking to teenagers all the time about what you consume, because we know that what you consume affects you. Right, and it could either affect you negatively, or it can affect you positively, and the negative has an even greater hold on you if you're not deep seated in the Lord. So the more you get closer to the Lord, the less those negative things that you consume impact you. Meaning, you might be somebody who you love consuming the news. That's something, like, I know Pastor Mike, that's something that he has gone through a journey of, where he was constantly, day after day after day, just like consuming so much news, where he knew everything that was going on. The issue with that, though, is that he was now getting a skewed version or a skewed thought process of how the world sees the world going, and was hearing a little bit less of what actually how Jesus sees the world going. Okay, Jesus doesn't ignore the issues that are happening in our planet. He doesn't ignore the war that's happening in Ukraine. He doesn't ignore the pandemic. He doesn't ignore that stuff. But he sees it different than our natural minds will, because he's kingdom minded, right? And so stinking thinking. This will be kind of like our crux verse that we'll talk about over the next couple of weeks. And this is Romans 12:2. It says that there's a slide for that, buddy. It says this. It says there's no slide for this one. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And I love how it says it in the Passion Translation. It says, "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes." Transformed. Transformed. We need to make sure that our mind is continually being renewed. This is how we avoid stinking thinking, is that we continually step into this place of our minds are being renewed. This renewing process is not just a one-time thing. It's not just I come to church or I go to this spiritual thing or whatever. I have this moment with the Lord. My mind's renewed, right? I think different. I think more holy. I think whatever. And then I never have to do that again. No, it's a constant cleansing, right? Like if I did that with my clothes, right? If I just wore this shirt and I never washed it, and day after day, I slept in this shirt, did work in this shirt, I worked out in this shirt, I mowed the lawn in this shirt, I went to church in this shirt, right? Eventually, something would happen to this shirt, right? Eventually, one, it would start having an odor, most likely. After some time, there would be holes that would, you know, you would start to see stains on it. You would start to see, you know, spaghetti sauce and all the different, like eventually after probably a week or so, maybe a little bit longer, you would start to notice like, does that shirt get washed? Do you take that shirt off by chance? Because that shirt's nasty, right? So if you could imagine, I know it's a silly example, right? But if you can imagine, right, like I have to wash this shirt. I don't just get to like keep wearing this shirt again and again and expect it to just be fine, right? And the same goes with our mind. We have to make sure that we're renewing our mind, making sure that we do these checks and balances in our mind. I do this thing yearly. I have this one book that I read at the beginning of every year. And it's this book called by a pastor named Banning Leibscher. He's kind of like my spiritual hero. He's a pastor down in Sacramento, and he wrote this book called Rooted. Now, if you like to read or if you are interested in anything, it's a book called Rooted, and his name is Banning Leibscher. And I read this book at the beginning of every year because in this book, he's done such a good job to talk about the roots of our faith that for me, it's a reset. So every year, January, February, at some point, I listened to it years prior, I'll read it. And it's all marked up. And every year I'll read it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I laid that somewhere throughout last year, I laid this truth down. Like I laid this thing down, this simple truth that should be something that is just in me. I laid it down back in July or August or somewhere. And this is just my way of just constantly like renewing my mind every year, making sure. And obviously we continuously do this with the word. We continue to do in prayer. You'd be amazed by the thoughts that you have in your mind that you think are proper or you think are even biblical, but then you process it with the Lord, or better yet, try processing it with your spouse and they'll tell you real quick, that's not right. That's not even biblical. You're right. Like this is one of the reasons why I love being married, especially to the woman that I'm married to, because she's very sweet. You guys know her. She's very sweet, but she's also very no BS. Okay. And so sometimes I look at her and I say, hey, I have to process something that's in my mind. Maybe it's something that I'm going to preach about, or maybe it's just a thought in my mind that I'm like, I don't know if this is true. I just need to say it. Can I just say it out loud to you? And I'm not going to post this on social media. I'm not going to say it from the pulpit, but I just need to say it right now. And I need you to tell me if I'm off my rocker or what. And sometimes she's like, oh yeah, that's a good word. Or other times, most of the time, she's like, don't ever tell anybody you've ever had that thought, because that's not even close to being remotely true, right? But that's part of my process of renewing my mind. I have to, this is why it's so important to have God-loving, God-fearing people in your lives, in your corner, because you're able to balance these ideas that you might have that you're like, well, I feel like this is God. I feel like this is biblical, right? And you don't actually know. And then you process it with somebody who can see it from a different side. It's really good. Okay. Oh, spilled my coffee. But renew your mind. So we need to think more like Jesus. Read this story in Matthew 14. I do have a slide for this, Caden. And this is a story, we've heard this story where Jesus feeds the multitudes. In this particular story, he feeds 4,000. Okay, so starting in verse 13, it says this. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So we have this amazing miracle that happens where Jesus performs this great miracle. Like, anytime food can get multiplied, I think, come on, God, you care about food. And what's cool is I've actually heard about like this being this actually happening in people's lives. But then, not even a chapter later, in Matthew 15, 33, this happens again. But there's not 4,000 people now, there's 5,000 people. Okay, and it's even more than that, because they're not counting the women and the children. And so in the same scenario, again, Jesus is like, we need to feed them, or the disciples are like, we need to feed them. And look what the disciples say. They just watched, I couldn't find exactly, I don't know the timeline, how many days or how long this was between the two miracles. But nonetheless, they just watched Jesus do this already, right? They already saw him do it. So you would think, I'm just a logical thinker. If I'm a follower of Jesus, I see him multiply all this food to feed the 5,000. If I came across that same scenario, I would think, Jesus has this. He's done it already, right? He's done it already. But look what the disciples say. His disciples answered, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" Like, they literally just saw him do it already once. They literally were with him. They probably helped him pass out the food to the people. They definitely picked up the leftovers, right? So they were there when it happened. This wasn't something they imagined. This wasn't something they heard about. They were there when it happened. And yet they're questioning the Lord. Where could we get enough bread? How can we make this happen? The disciples saw Jesus feed the 5,000 and yet still needed their mind to be shifted to believe that he could do it again. Here's the truth. Watch me on this. You could be around Jesus and see him perform miracles, and still your mind can get in the way. You can experience all the miracles. You could see people prayed for and healed. You could see financial miracles happen. You could see marriages restored, relationships restored. You could see all that happen, and your mind can still get in the way if your mind is not renewed. This is why it's important that we continually have our mind renewed to keep our mind on the truths that is Jesus and not our truth, not what we think is true, not what I read online because it was a good idea, not what my brother or sister told me because they saw it on the news, but the actual truth, the actual what the Word of God says, right? Our mind can get in the way. Here's my first point. When what Jesus has done once, he can do it again. He can do it again. If you hear a miracle, let's say we did this. We still do this. Say you need a financial miracle and you hear a testimony. Somebody says, I got blessed. I was down and out. I didn't know I was going to pay rent, blah, 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 blah. And then miraculously something happened. I got an inheritance or I got a raise or whatever. It's okay in those moments to say, yes, God, do it again in my life if you need it, because he's faithful to do it again. Like, our God isn't a one and done God where he's like, I already did that miracle down the street. I can't do this again for you, right? No, our God can and he will do it again. Do we trust? Is our mind in a place where we can receive it, right? I remember at the last church we were at, there was a moment where we took an offering. There was a gentleman in our church. He couldn't pay his rent. He needed help. And so so we were like, we're going to take an offering for him. Like, we literally took an offering in the middle of service. Was like, we're going to take an offering right now. He needs X amount of dollars. And boom, his rent was paid that day, right? There were other people in the church. In that moment, you have a choice, church. You have a choice. And let me remind you that offense is a choice. It's always a choice, okay? In that moment, our congregation had an opportunity to celebrate, right? To celebrate God's goodness in that moment, or to get mad and jealous and envious of what's happening. And we had people in our church do both. We had people who celebrated and said, yes, that's amazing. That's how we're going to step up. That's what church is. We had other people that said, hey, what about me? Right? What about me? I need help. I need extra help. And instead of stepping into something that God's doing and saying, God, you did it for him, I want you to do it for me, people chose to then step into a place or said, well, that's a bummer because I just was overlooked. When God doesn't overlook anybody, God doesn't overlook anybody. So what Jesus has done once, he can do again. All right. Don't let your mind stink and think and tell you otherwise, because our God is faithful. Amen. Our God is faithful. This is my conviction. Either I believe he's faithful or I don't. There is no in between. Either I believe he's going to come through or I don't believe he's going to come through. Either I believe he's going to heal or I don't believe he's going to heal. There's no in between for me, because I believe, not that I believe, it's biblical that our God is faithful. I've seen him do it in my own life. I've read about it in the Bible. I've read historical accounts of it happening. Go to the next slide, Caden. And here's just a few verses. There's many verses, but here's just a few verses. Psalm 33:4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. How many of you guys are just so glad that even though moments that we're not faithful, that God is, right? Like, you guys ever have a friend that is just a little bit flaky, where they like, you know that when they say, hey, I'll meet you at 10 o'clock, that one, there's a chance they're not going to show up, or two, there's a chance they're going to be late, right? Like those people who you're just like, okay, my expectation, I've had to learn over time to not really take you at your word. You're not a horrible person. You're just maybe need some time management training, right? Like, that is the polar opposite of our Father. Like, he's faithful. Like we may, and I've done this before. I've said to myself, I'm gonna start getting up. I'm gonna get up at 5:30 in the morning before everybody gets up, and I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna read my word. I'm gonna have this holy moment. Everybody's gonna wake up hours later, and they're just gonna be hit with the Holy Spirit because I've just invited the presence of God into this place. And I wake up that next day, and I don't wake up at 5:30. I wake up at 8:30 or 9, and I'm like, oh man, I gotta start my day, right? And it doesn't happen. I may be faithless. I may be flaky, but God's never going to show up late to those meetings. He's there at 5:30. He's there at 4:30. He's there ready to go at any time. That's how faithful he is. This is the faithfulness of God. And his timing doesn't always look like ours. Sometimes we're praying. I've prayed. We've all prayed, I'm sure. God, I want this thing to happen right now or by this time. And that time's come and gone. And then we're like, okay, well, that was a bummer. But doesn't mean God isn't faithful. It just means that that's not his right now, right? So, the second thing I want to say, the second point is this. Trusting God doesn't always make sense. Somebody say amen. Trusting God doesn't always make sense. I'll say this as well. Trusting God is rarely comfortable. Rarely comfortable. God doesn't actually call you to a life of comfort. Just putting it out there. And so if we're following God in hopes for a life of consistent comfort and consistent, I'm never, disappointed and all this stuff, you might need to read your Bible a little bit more, because there are plenty of people who in the following of God were really uncomfortable, really uncomfortable. Like to the point where they're like, I don't know if I can do this. Our own Jesus, when you read the Gospels, when Jesus is about to go to the cross, when he was in the garden and he's praying, he's worried. Like that's a moment. This is where we know Jesus felt all the emotions and feelings that we felt, because we see that our Jesus, our Savior, the one who went to the cross for you and I, who was fully man, fully God, was uncomfortable. And actually, if the Lord would have given him an out, he would have taken it. If the Lord would have said, okay, actually, we don't need to go to the cross. We're going to do something else, and we're still going to get the salvation of the world. Jesus would have been like, awesome, because I kind of want to live past 33, right? So trusting God doesn't always make sense. However, again, he's faithful. It's not always going to feel like a good idea. We need to understand that there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. We understand that there are moments where we have something that we think, right? That we think that this is what God wants us to do. And I'm not even talking about sin. I'm talking about, I had a friend who recently in the last couple of months, he had a job opportunity, and it was going to take him from Southern California where he lives to Oklahoma. And the job was with a big ministry. He was going to make okay money, but it definitely was going to open up doors for him in different ways. And him and his wife went through this moment of praying, and they offered him the job. He went through the interview, they offered him the job. And he just felt in his spirit that this wasn't the right time. Now, if he would have taken the job and went to Oklahoma, would he have been blessed? Yes, because our God's faithful. That, like, he's too good to allow us to miss the big things. So he would have, I believe that. I know that God, his family still would have been blessed. But he had this moment where he had to think, is this a God idea or is this just a good idea? Right? And he ended up staying. And it was actually harder for them to stay. Okay? But God ideas are led by Holy Spirit. Good ideas is just us, right? Doesn't mean we're gonna go to hell if we go do the thing and obviously I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about in this instance, move to Oklahoma. It doesn't mean that we're gonna get to heaven and be like, hey, remember that OKC move? That wasn't me. Like he's just too good to not let us miss. So here's the question I have. When's the last time you did something uncomfortable for God? Like, when's the last time you put yourself in a position where you were like, this is uncomfortable, but I know that God is in this, right? Let's not mistake discomfort for the enemy. Because you'll hear people say, I just don't know if that's God. I just don't feel peace, or I just don't feel, and those are real things. Sometimes, hear me when I say this, sometimes you're just scared. And we want to make it a holy sentence. We want to make it a holy reason. Oh, just like God wasn't on that. And, you know, and I prayed about it when you really didn't pray about it. You just felt scared. And we need to learn to decipher what is this good idea and what is a God idea. We need to learn how to decipher, am I just feeling scared? Am I just feeling uncomfortable? And what is actually God calling me to do? And again, this is why it's important to have Holy Spirit, relationship with Holy Spirit. If you don't talk to Holy Spirit every day, I would encourage you to do so. Include him in all your decisions. It's really important to have people in your life, in your corner, to say, hey, this is a decision. Like my friend who the Oklahoma thing, he was bringing so many people in. Not so many people. He had a few different people. I was one of them, where he was just bringing, the Bible talks about in Proverbs, talks about having many advisors. So he was doing that. And he was saying, hey, I need to make sure I'm making the right decision, right? This is why it's important, because sometimes you can get this stinking thinking happening in your brain and you think you're right, making the right decision because, oh, well, I believe in Jesus and I'm following Jesus and Jesus would never let me lead me astray. And that's correct. There's also this thing called free will, and people make dumb decisions all the time because of free will. Okay. So it's really important that we have this discernment piece down. Let's not mistake I'm uncomfortable for this isn't God, because a lot of times doing things for God will be uncomfortable. And other times it's like, oh, this is great. This is really fun. But a lot of times God's like, I want you to go do that. I want you to go there. And it's like, oh, I'm not called to that. Or I don't feel that that's what I'm supposed to do. And God's like, yeah, but I want you to do that. I want you to do that. Mark 5. This is following a story or a miracle that many of us know about. It's the woman with the issue of blood, and but that story happened while Jesus was on his way to go heal the daughter of Jairus. Okay, and we're going to read this. This is Mark 5. Jesus just healed the woman with the issue of blood. Well, her faith really healed her, and while he was on his way to go heal the little girl, but the little girl dies, and so they send word to Jesus, and Jesus, they say, don't even bother him, she's dead, don't worry about it. So this is where we pick it up, Mark 5:36. It says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion. Now, I like to put myself in the story. I encourage you all, when you read your word, don't just read it like a book, like a text. Actually, try to envision what's happening. So there's a commotion. Why is there a commotion? Well, a little girl just died. Now, having kids myself, I can only imagine the pain and the anguish and the chaos that must have ensued in the moment this girl passed away, right? A little girl, she's 12 years old, a little girl passed away. People are crying. I'm sure people are probably on the ground, like wailing and just so upset, as they should be. Little girl just passed away. So there's chaos. Jesus is peace. Amen. So when we pray for peace, how many in here have ever prayed for peace? Like peace over a situation, peace over our life, right? When we're praying that, let's make sure what we're not praying for is for the chaos to go away. Because that's not actually true peace, right? The worldly definition of peace is like peace in war would be a ceasefire. Peace in war would be, you know, the Russia is no longer trying to invade Ukraine. Peace in war would mean there's no more lives being taken, right? That everything's calm. No more bullets are flying. Right, that's peace. Kingdom peace is a presence of Jesus in the midst of chaos. There's a difference. This is what kingdom peace is. Kingdom peace is me being able to walk on water while there's waves around me. That's kingdom peace. Okay? So when Jesus walks in, who is peace, he walks into the commotion of this girl who is dead, who is laying on the bed, I'm assuming, or wherever she was laying on. There's a commotion. There's chaos, right? So it says Jesus saw commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." How many of you guys know Jesus ruined every funeral he went to, including his own? Okay? So Jesus walks in with a different mindset, with a kingdom mindset, but he starts saying something that is kind of crazy. Now, if I'm there, if I'm the dad, if I'm the parent, my 12-year-old is dead, Jesus walks in and says, "Why are you crying?" First of all, I'm like, Lord, I respect you. Also, silly question. Why am I crying? Can you read the room, Jesus? Do you not see what's happening? There's a little girl that's dead. Why am I crying? And then he has the audacity to say, "She's not crying," or "She's not dead. She's asleep." Jesus, no, I went and I put my finger under her nose and didn't feel any breath. I felt her pulse and there's no heartbeat. Her skin's starting to get cold, Jesus. She's not asleep, she's dead. But this is our Jesus that walks in with a kingdom mindset, with thinking different. Verse 40, but they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kom," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Here's the truth, church. Jesus is not always going to fit in the box you put him into. I would say he's rarely, if ever, going to fit into this box that we put him into. Why was Jesus able to come in to where there was death and bring life? Well, it's not just that he had the power of God flowing in him. That was a major reason, if not the reason. It's also because he was able to see from a different perspective. He's able to come in and see not with his natural eyes, but heavenly eyes. He's able to see and say, "Yes, I see that there's a girl laying there lifeless, but I live from a different place. I live from a place where dead things come back to life. This is my thought life. I live from a different place where when I walk into a room, everything changes, right? Where I turn graves into gardens, like we just sang a little bit ago, right? Where I turn mourning to joy, right? Like that's the perspective I walk into. So Jesus moved how he did because he thought different. He was kingdom minded. And I question today, church, are we walking around with this mindset with heaven in mind? Do we approach our situations with this thought? Now I get it, it's hard. This is where the stinking thinking comes into play. Because we know that Jesus can heal. We just read it. We talk about it. We sing about it, right? We know that Jesus can perform miracles. We know that Jesus can save the lost. We know that there's no person that's too far gone that Jesus can't save and restore. We know it. But then we have maybe our own family members. And we think, Jesus is good, but I don't know if he's that good, right? Right. We see the sick people or we get sick ourselves and we're like, I know Jesus can heal. Also, I'm feeling really sick. Can I just remind you today, church, that it's really not even about your feelings. Your feelings don't define you. You're not your feelings. What defines you is your sonship, your daughtership. What defines you is who Jesus calls you to be. And we're going to keep talking about this, so we'll unpack this more. But I just wanted to start this Sunday to get us to start thinking, to challenge you that we would approach our lives with kingdom in mind. We would approach our workplaces with kingdom in mind. We would approach our schools with kingdom in mind. We would approach our city with kingdom in mind, right? Not just what we see with our natural eyes, but how does Jesus see it? When we walk into the grocery store, when we walk into Safeway, when we walk into Walmart and not the West Valley Walmart, the other Walmart, right? When we walk into those places where we're like, Jesus, can you do something in this place? Or am I thinking that this place is too far gone, right? Can you do something in this person that I love so much? Can you do something in my life? Can you, Jesus, I've dealt with this sin for a decade now. Are you ever going to free me from this chain, from these chains? And Jesus is saying, yes, I can. When are you going to get ready to think different, have kingdom mind instead of a natural carnal mind? Amen. So I want to pray for kingdom minded people today. Today, if that's you, if you're like, yes, I want to think different about my life. I'm struggling to think about that person different. I'm struggling to see that person or those people or that place or that situation. I'm struggling to see it in a different light. Right now, I just want you to agree with me in prayer. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. Skylar, can you play just something on the guitar? Just anything. God, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you're giving us a mind of Christ. God, I just declare, I declare that Romans 12:2 over us right now, that we would not conform to the pattern of this world, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God, that our minds, Lord, even though they might be inundated with information from outside sources, it may be inundated with what's happening on Fox News or CNN or whatever news outlet that we participate in. It might be inundated with what we see on social media. It might be inundated what we hear about at work or what we hear about from whatever resource that we're hearing it from, God, that our minds, one, would be protected. Would be protected from any thinking that isn't of you. Any area of our life, God, that is not glistening with hope, God. Right now, I'd pray you would begin revealing to us, revealing to me. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you have a different perspective. And I just pray that any area in our lives that we're struggling to have a different perspective in, that you would help us. You are our helper. Thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that where we're faithless, you're always faithful. Give us a new mind today, Jesus. Give us a new mind today, Jesus. Come on, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, renew my mind today. Renew my mind tomorrow and the next day. Say, Jesus, give me heavenly perspective over every situation. Over every situation in my life and those around me. Say, Jesus, give me a mind like you. Yeah, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. I just pray for every mind in this place, that we would begin to get renewed. Every mind that is watching online, that watches this at a later time. I just pray right now, God, that every situation that we step into, that we would have the mind of Christ, that our mind would be renewed, our mind would be restored. Our mind would not get clouded with outside information, God, but our mind would be inundated with your truth, God. Holy Spirit, remind us every single day of where our mind should be set on. And we thank you for this, Jesus. We thank you for this, Jesus. I pray for every person here. Bless their homes, bless their lives, bless their jobs, bless their marriages, bless their children. We Thank you, Jesus, for all these things and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have anything they want to add or pray before I end today? Okay. Yeah. That's good. We're covered. I love that. We're covered. We're covered. Yes, that's so good. We're covered and we're protected. And it's our job to continue to stay under that covering. Amen? Awesome. I love you guys. You guys have a great week. We'll be back here next Sunday, same time, different shirt. Amen? All right. Love you guys.